Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
My shit together.
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, welcome back to Sacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Owl. We got Ricky on the board. A little coughing on this end, but hopefully it won't be too bad. Ricky looks healthy in this nice weather. You love the weather, Ricky?
I hate it, but I'm healthy, man.
Well, that's good.
I'm healthy. Ready to go.
A little bit of a cough rolling around, but nothing that, what is it? If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Isn't that the story?
That's right.
I'll get to this. S&P futures down 108. NASDAQ futures down 483. Dow futures down 654. So that's not so good. Our president was doing all kinds of crazy stuff over the week. Well, I guess in one corner, all kinds of crazy stuff. In the other corner, stuff that's so deep and moral and righteous that we just can't even figure it out. I don't know, whatever corner you happen to be in there, I guess. But the bottom line is he sent a letter to the guy from Norway, or a text, or whatever you want to call him, that not giving him the Peace Prize is going to have consequences or something along those lines. That's really unbelievable, if you ask me, boy. But nobody's asking me. So, anyway, we're down heavy this morning, and the idea of there's some kind of committee he wants to put together, and Macron says he doesn't want to be on it. So then they said, okay, you're going to be 200% tariffs on French wine. So we don't run any of this stuff by Congress or anyplace else. We just do it. Or say we're going to do it. Do we have Professor Carl?
You do.
I hear your short spoo and long silver and gold is the story I'm getting.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of stories.
A million stories in Naked City. This is just one of them.
There's all kinds of stories, and one or two of them somewhere might actually be true. But, you know, yeah. You have to wonder about, you know, some of this stuff and whether or not there's any brains involved in any of it, right? I think that's a reasonable question to ask. I'm really the whataboutism is rather galling, really, because.
You mean the stuff I brought up last week? What about this? What about that?
Well, you know, some of that, but let's take the Greenland situation. It's just one of these. You know, you do know that Truman tried to buy it, right?
Okay, but they said no, and he didn't.
Well, I understand that, but you know, this isn't a new idea. Okay, it's just like pop up out of nowhere. By the way, Truman tried to do this for the same reason.
By the way, he's dead.
Well, I understand that. But the concern was the same, which is that this of course was after there was this little nuclear adventure over in Japan, right, by the United States, and he legitimately recognized that there was a security problem with anything that might turn into rockets, missiles, whatever have you, coming from Russia, because if you're going to do something like that, you're going to come across the pole. It's the only way to make it actually work. And if you look at the paths, Greenland's kind of like right in the middle of all of them. So, I mean, that was the reason for it, right? And then the other argument was that Greenland, the Danes, their claim to it is rather tenuous. Then again, this was this all came out of
our
time.
Claim that a Louisiana purchase is tenuous.
Well, this came out of a time when an awful lot of things post World War II were tenuous. You know, I mean, we created a nation out of whole cloth that had absolutely nothing to do with the Nazis and going into Poland and starting wars and things like this. But we said, oh, no, this piece of land is yours. This land is mine. You know, and we played that game all over the place. And by the way, the stuff with Greenland sort of kind of came out of the same thing, right? So these kinds of geopolitical considerations are not exactly new. It's just that people have kind of sort of forgotten how happened.
They got it. We want it. Let's take it. Is that new, bud?
Well, as I said, it's not a new thing, right? I mean, you know, hello.
I listened to a dude was in Greenland or Denmark. I forget where the guy was from. And how many Americans? I mean, and this is, you probably know this because you've actually done some research on it. Okay, we have a pretty good sized base over in Greenland.
We used to have several, but yeah.
How many did we used to have?
Boy, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was there were we have a alleged treaty right to essentially put whatever we want over there for defensive purposes. But we only have one active base there now.
We used to have 30.
Well, as I said, we used to kind of cover the place.
And this guy says, we didn't kick you out, you left. He said, if you want to come back, just let us know. We're more than welcome to let you in.
Well, and you know, I mean, that may be how this ultimately resolves.
But if it is, we didn't need any of this crap.
Well, I get that. But here, look, and this megalomania nonsense about the Nobel Prizes, like when these things that you just suffer, you go, what the F?
What? If anyone of your friends was like that, would you want to commit them?
I think plenty of
people. I didn't get the Oscar, and some actor goes berserk in the Academy Award thing and keeps calling for a year, and when the other guy says, "Oh, you can have it," he actually keeps it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you know, look, I'm sure that the instant cause, if you will, of this dive that we had, you know, in the futures was this, right? I mean, there were two dumps that, you know, if you look at a, you know, 5-day or whatever have you, there were two dumps that came more or less, you know, from this. The huge gap open, you know, Sunday, all right, you know, which of course, you know, the traded Sunday night, but you know, and through Sunday, but didn't, and then Monday and
right.
You know, MLK, right? But that's you know, I mean, so this is all kind of referenced off the you know, off the Friday close.
By the way, we are talking about the S&P's being down 101. That's what we're kibitzing
right,
about.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Nasdaq's down 450.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, here's another interesting thing. This is the one that really got my attention this morning when I woke up is Nat Gas Futures up 22%.
Even though oil isn't doing anything. Well, it's also below zero in half the country, too.
Well, I get that, but, you know, yeah, QM is, you know, is basically sitting there flat as a board, right? Up, you know, 0.9 or 0.9%.
Well, oil's right at 60, which is, you know, it's
been
what, 57 to 61 now forever, it seems.
But I mean, you know, natural gas futures, you know, pop all over the place, especially in the
wintertime. That's a big contract too.
Well, it is, but you know, I mean, it flops all over because you know, weather, right? And there's supposedly this monster storm that's going to basically nail the eastern half of the country, you know, towards the end of the week and into the weekend. So yeah, we'll see whether or not it does. But my take on all of this is that we have so much scam, theft, and fraud that has imbued through the economy. All right. I mean, you take I know I've talked a little bit about this nonsense with the AI and you know, what these companies have done buying forward production and basically starving the rest of the technology sector on the DRAM side, right? But chief,
well, every time people have done that, it turned out to really stick them in the behind. But
well, this has historically not worked out well for people who tried to do it, right? But here's the basic problem from the economy standpoint, at a macro level for everybody else. I have looked at this escalation in a large number of other areas. All right, for example, PCs for your desk. You are a company, every person in your company needs a computer on their desk. All right, I mean, that, you know, that's just today, right? We all have to have
one.
Wait
a minute, I have three.
Well, hello?
Yeah.
Okay. One of those blows up. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, one of them blows up. Right? It does happen. Or you want to add another person. You want to add another human to your office. Okay? The machine that used to be a couple $1,000 is now $5 or $10. I looked at some configurations for, say, for example, video editing and production, which is a fairly high-end thing. Okay, gaming too, but you know, you can decide you don't want a game today. But you know, video production's a little different, right?
You know what? I've decided that every day.
Well, you know, but you know, Chief, the thing is, this machine that was $5,000 or $6,000 is now $25,000.
Yeah, I.
Okay, now look. If you don't think this kind of monopoly, the whole reason the Sherman Act and the Clayton Act exist is because doing this kind of thing has downstream effects on people who have nothing to do with the particular business in question, and it screws people blind and plays hell in the economy generally.
A tremendously antitrust administration, huh?
Isn't it interesting?
As long as they get their piece, it's okay.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that we have but we've had this same problem in the so-called healthcare sector for how long? All right. By the way, you know, people are still talking about Kennedy just revised the, you know, what you should eat grid. Well, actually, he did and he didn't. What he left out of that was the whole thing about seed oils. Okay. Why did he leave that out? Well, because they're cheaper.
Carl, if you go, I mean, I don't know. You're getting a little bit mature, not too bad, but if you go back and just look at some of the stuff that you've eaten or used, I guess you used it if you ate it. Just in your lifetime, and just thought for like if you're driving, you know, you got 10 minutes to think about something.
Yeah,
I bet you can name 3 or 4 or 5 little combinations that shouldn't have happened. And kind of it's people use those acts to get rid of Standard Oil, get rid of the phone companies, though they bought them all back again. Right now, in the whole vernacular of society, you and I are the only people to talk about. And I you know, you have no bigger ally than me. I can name you probably 4 that I was. I'll do a quick review of 3. One was I've been wearing contact lenses since I was 16. Couldn't play sports with glasses on, especially the glasses in those days. And so as soon as contacts came along, I was all for them, right? So they used to sell, you know, the solution.
Right.
And somebody came out with a better solution. So then you can only get it through the wouldn't market it. You can only get it through your optometrist, Mr. Boston. So I know you go out Boston, and it was about half price, and it was way better. All of a sudden, somebody buys them, and now they're on the shelf everywhere. They're probably the most popular brand, and they're, you know, a few bucks more than they were back in those days. So it's not going to break me or you, but I will bet every year since I've been wearing contact lenses, I started when I was 16, maybe 15, I'm going to say that it costs me $8 more a year than it would. Now, $8 is not even the cost of a good drink somewhere, but... How many people per year wear contact lenses?
Right.
I used to drive a cab, and guess what I used to drive? A Checker Marathon.
Okay, yep.
And one day, Chevy bought Checker Marathon, and 2 years later, they're out of business, and all the cabs were Chevys.
Right.
And then, I don't know if you're a hot dog fan, the best hot dogs there were was Best Kosher.
Yep.
They were made here at 39th and Union. About 65 people worked there. And one day, Sarah Lee bought them. 6 months later, they're out of business.
Yep.
So there's 3. It's all over the place, Carl.
It's right in front of your face.
It has been for so long. The people don't even know what the hell you and I are talking about.
Chief, I agree. Okay.
Doesn't make it right.
Okay. But I'm talking about the truly ridiculously egregious stuff. Like, for example...
Well, these are egregious if you like hot dogs if you were 65 people.
Okay, and
Checker Marathon, a whole car company.
Okay, and Vioxx in 1999 with Merck killed 60,000 Americans by deliberately hiding the cardiac signals they had in the original trials. And by the way, if you murder somebody, you're supposed to get the needle or spend the rest of your life in jail. All right? 60,000 dead bodies, and not a single person went to prison for it. And oh, by the way, Merck is still in business and traded on the public stock exchanges. Now, I get it that this stuff is like, oh, you know, it's just business, whatever. Well, you know what? The degeneration of this over time and the cost, the external costs that are imposed. You know, you've got this going on right now with all these AI companies building data centers.
You've dumbed the population.
Forcing up the cost of your power.
You've dumbed the population down so much. If you were Iran for something, and at one campaign stop, we mentioned what we're talking about, everybody's eyes would blow over and say, who are these two guys? I don't know what the hell they're talking about, and leave.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I mean, I'm with you.
I'm just saying, okay? I'm just saying. I don't know.
I was with a guy yesterday, and by the way, your name came up. It comes up a lot. And he says, what do we have to do about, you know, the deficit and things? I go, the guy's name is, well, he's on the show a lot, John Lee. I said, John, you have to listen to Carl. Somehow, we have to get the medical stuff down from 21% of the economy to 15. And oh, by the way, we could increase the care with that. Right now, the care sucks and it's 25%. I said, just listen to the guy. I mean, I would never tell you that because you get a big head. But I mean, I tell other people that. You know, I mean, it's we're right, bud. But we're also sitting here on a podcast, and we're not a senator.
Well, yeah, but you know, the thing is that what ends up happening with this is that as the squeeze goes on, the drumbeat for somebody who says, I can fix it, gets louder and louder and louder, right? And guess who usually shows up? And this has gone on, how many times has this gone on in history? You know, funny little Austrian painter has this way of showing up.
Well, we may already have one.
Well, no, it's not this guy. He lacks the nuts actually do it.
Well, but the first thing that has to happen is it's not any of these people's fault. It's somebody else's fault.
Well, of course.
And right now, to a large extent, it's the Hispanics' fault.
A little bit. Look,
one of my guys here who actually been on the show, other night he talked about that if the city only had like their, I don't know how many billion dollars he lobbed out there for the migrants that came to town. I go, wait a minute. The guy's got an MBA and a law degree. I go. Your math is better than that. We had 50,000 people here. The city didn't do squat for them except put them in places and give them a bed. You're talking about the number you just gave is like $2 billion a person. I got news for you. Somebody might have stolen that $2 billion, but it wasn't those people.
Well, okay. But this is usually the way this ends up working out, okay? You look at the amount of the, you know, the patsy is the so-called migrant or whatever happened.
Yeah.
Right? You look at what's going on in Minnesota, and by the way, it's not just in Minnesota, okay? We got the Learing Center that has no children in it, right? And got how many millions of dollars? Right? Because we're feeding little kitties. And oh, by the way, there's no kids. What there is a whole bunch of people stealing a bunch of money. Now, you've got the same thing going on in the Medicaid system.
Why does that continue to go on, Carl? I mean, after...
Well, I'll tell you why it continues to go on. Because we have, you know, how many times have I banged the drum about 15 U.S.C. Chapter 1, right? And 8 U.S.C. 1324 when it comes to illegal immigration and the people who give them jobs and rent
just,
places.
Just the larceny itself.
Chief, the larceny comes from the fact that nobody goes to jail.
Well, I think that's probably true, but if everybody's larcenous, who will guard the guards?
gee, how'd it start? Does it, listen, you just had Ellison, the AG, last night, the AG of Minnesota, comes out and says that a facially clear law that bars you from barging into a place of worship and disrupting the service, all right, which, by the way, was passed because there were people doing this in the context of abortion clinics.
Well, there, right? there were people who were union members that were using places as safe houses in the stackyards.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. It is a federal offense to break into, basically to trespass into a place of worship for purposes unrelated to worship, okay? To quote unquote protest, whatever have you. Ellison comes out and says, oh, no, that's a Christian place, and that's fine. That's First Amendment protected speech. You know what? If you showed up at a mosque with a barbecue grill, a stack of bacon, and two Dobermans, your ass would be in prison so fast your head would spin.
Well, somehow, I think to a certain extent, and I read something a long time ago, Carl, when you look at politics and you look at what's going on in the world, is it the politics or is it a reflection of the people who, I mean, this one guy wrote this thing, and, you know, people write stuff, and I think it's all tongue-in-cheek, but some of it makes some sense. The dude says, well, you know, the government is out on its ass on spends more than it takes in, to a large extent. But you're right. Always talks about that. He goes, look at the average person in the country. They spend more than they take in.
Well,
you know, I don't know where it happened, and I'm not about to.
All I know is this. Okay, you have all over this. Fox Business. All right, maybe not all over, but you know, Fox Business. Over the long weekend, we got this thing, quiet change in American paychecks hints at something bigger brewing, and they're crowing about how American paychecks are going up so great. You want to know something? That is a lie. It's not a debatable question. It's a lie. The MTS for December is now out, all right? As a result, we now have the first fiscal quarter, right? Okay. The actual change as in people's payrolls, in what has actually happened, all right, to human beings from last year, the actual change is up 2.7%. And how do I know this? Because the Medicare tax receipts, which are from the first dollar on earnings, whether you're 1099 or W-2, you have to put that money in.
Well, same as Social Security, right?
Well, no. Social Security caps off. Medicare doesn't.
Right, okay.
Okay? So, tax receipt changes on Medicare are a extremely accurate and high-frequency piece of data that can't be tampered with, because if you don't make your tax deposits, they come and they put a chain on your door. So, they tend to get very, very angry when you don't put that money, you know, when you make those deposits. That is directly in the MTS, and it's right there. So the reality of it is it's up 2.7% from a year ago. At the same time, CMS
spending, I wonder what would it be if you struck the top 10%?
Probably down.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. At the same time, CMS spending is up 10.1%. which is 3.74 times that of earnings. Now, you're telling me, when you look at the so-called CPI report, excuse me, CMS spending is actual checks that go out the door, all right? And tax receipts are actual tax receipts that come in the door. And the reality of it is that at the same time, you got the Hennepin healthcare folks who are saying they expect to lose $1.5 billion from the fact that half the people coming in there are either on Medicaid or are being treated but don't pay at all because they're illegal immigrants and don't have any money. And they're expecting that what they want is for the Minneapolis and in Minnesota governments to raise taxes so as to force other people to pay those bills. Now, the real problem is the bill is so effing large that nobody doesn't
well,
have
Well, if somebody walked into, though I didn't see a whole lot of people, and there was one of those camps right by me, I didn't see a lot of people going in and getting heart bypasses and new knees and stuff.
Well, maybe what they're getting is, they're having heart attacks and strokes and, probably more than a few drug overdoses, too, but you don't know.
I never saw a beer, and I never smelled any marijuana with that group. Well, I tell you what, you walk outside my door downtown here, it's all over the place.
Well, okay.
Well, we have neither Joel nor Kenny, but John wasn't on yesterday, so can you share for a half hour? Won't you hang on? We can send the markets in the dumper here. I think we probably should do a quick report here.
Probably be a good idea, seeing as things do seem to be a little down.
Yeah, but, you know, but
by the way, we're kind of six. Dow futures are -666.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd bring that up.
Well, the chew on this over break, you and Jan, is that, when I think there's always a little bit of something in human life, you got to wet your beak a little bit. And I honestly don't have a problem with that, as my uncle was very wise, told me once, Richard J. Daley, who was Baird, the amount of corruption is a manageable and okay level with people. Didn't say there was none. How we got from there to Katrina, where some company, some well-connected company, I don't remember who president was, that Bush? I don't know who the hell it was. Some well-connected company got this huge contract to clean the streets down in New Orleans. Well, there was a bunch of people. So they ended up, it was such a lucrative company, they didn't even do it, they subcontracted.
Yeah.
Then the next person subcontracted. When Kami got down in New Orleans, there was a guy with a truck and three people illegal sweeping the street.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is, it's not the same as the PT boat manufacturer or a motor manufacturer getting 5% more that he passed out to his employees and they spent in the local bar. I mean,
but that's what the entire thing has turned into, Chief, across the board.
But it's the level is something I never thought I'd see.
Well,
I mean, a little bit, come on, if you're very...
There's always corruption everywhere. The problem is that's all it is now.
But if you can do stuff like honest auctions, honest bids, things like that, there might be a little bit, but it's not like this. This is crazy. SP Futures down one... I've been trying to dodge having to say this. SP Futures down 103, NASDAQ Futures down 451, but you know what, Colonel? We had a silver spread on, and I said, should we sell something on Wednesday? My brother goes, no, it's a long weekend. Who knows what crazy stuff might happen? The thing might be up. Silver's up $5, almost $6. So we got a red letter day at our silver people, only because we thought something stupid might happen, and maybe it did. Yikes. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim L. We have Ricky on the board. We have Carl and Mr. John Flanagan. Now, if your heart's a little flutter here, close your ears. S&P futures down 101. NASDAQ futures down 441. Dow futures, as Carl mentioned, down 654. Now there's a number. This all kind of started over in Europe because we were off yesterday. DAX down 408. That's 1.6. FTSE down 113, 1.1. CAC round down 101, 1.2. We're in Asia. Nikkei down 592. That's 1.1%. Hang Seng only down 76.3%. And Shanghai down 35 cents. So call that one flat. So the Chinese don't seem to care. Of course, they might have been open yesterday. But still, they don't seem to care today. On Friday, the S&P was down 4, NASDAQ down 14, so not much going on there. Bonds up 6 basis points, 4.28. That's as high as we've had the 10-year in a while. 30-year, the spread between the 10 and the 30 has really pushed down a little bit, too. We'll talk about that. Oil, not much going on with oil, up 60 cents. That's 1%, but still 60 bucks, 60.06. Brent up 47 cents, 64.41. As Carlos mentioned, big mover here is natural gas, up 70 cents. It's 380. That's up 22%. That's a big contract, too. Boy, if you're short a few of those, man, you're taking it where the sun don't shine. RBOB up a penny, 1.8%. Gold, big mover here. Gold up 137 now, it's 47.32. Silver up 663. That's 7.5%, 95.17. Who'd have thought it? Copper up 4 cents, 5.87. We got crypto down 1,900, 91,118. Foreign exchange, dollars getting whacked a little bit. Euros up to 117, pound up to 134.5. Ricky, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Bears lose.
Good morning, Chief. It's currently 6:40 a.m. here in Chicago. 5 degrees Fahrenheit right now with a high of 22. Not as cold as yesterday today with some sun followed by increasing clouds. Tonight will be cloudy, breezy with periods of snow late and a low of 21 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 49 degrees right now with a high of 76. Pleasant with some sunshine, and tonight will be clear with a low of 45. Let's talk about traffic in Chicago real quick. Accident earlier this morning westbound on Eisenhower before Harlem Avenue, causing some slow traffic. We also have another accident northbound on Dan Ryan at 47th Street. The left lane is locked, and so expect some delays of up to 5 minutes. Other than that, Kennedy, Edenson, Stevenson are looking pretty clear. And finally, let's talk about sports. This past Sunday, the Bears were knocked out of the season after a walk-off field goal by the Rams. Final result is 20-17, and the Rams move on. Very sad. And yesterday, we also have the Blackhawks.
It's not sad for the Rams.
Yeah, but it's sad for us, man. We're in Chicago. We like the Bears.
Yes.
Also, additionally, the Blackhawks beat Jets yesterday 2-0. And we have the Suns beating Nets 126 and to 117. Today we have Suns at 76ers at 6 p.m. and Clippers at Bulls at 7 p.m. Back over to you guys.
We had Indiana won last night, the college thing. Indiana beat Miami in like the last minute.
Yes, Indiana beat Miami.
You know, it was so long since the last game. I don't know, it's kind of a afterthought almost. But did you guys watch it, Carl, Jen?
Didn't watch it, Tom. Morning,
no.
Carl.
Nope.
Oh, you're not on strike like our other goofballs, are you?
No.
Our guys are on strike because Notre Dame didn't get in, Carl. They'll show them. They'll show them.
Whatever.
What I
think is interesting about this with the markets this morning is that if you look at the possible reignition of a tariff war with Europe, right, which is of course what's setting everybody off, can someone explain to me how Europe, when you look at their percentage of GDP as a from the standpoint of the global basket, if you will, right? It's gone in the tank over the last 10, 15 years. Now, you can say, well, that's because China has ascended, right?
Or India
has ascended or whatever. Okay, well, you can attempt to make that argument. However, where's this old Republican saw, rising tides lift all boats, right? Well, except the ones that have holes in them. Especially when you are the Three Stooges and you drill holes in the bottom on purpose, like, for example, by shutting down all of your power production facilities, becoming dependent upon Russia, and then ending up on the adverse side of a war with your energy supply. Oh, by the way, how's that going to get resolved? Because as I pointed out in Leverage, this seems like ancient history now. Behind every single unit of GDP is a unit of energy of some kind, right? So, that's just, it's basic logic, but you'd be surprised how many people don't get that. So, reasonably priced, abundant, and available energy resources are necessary to have a growing economy. It's the only way you can get there from here. And whether you like it or not, the exploitation of carbon has been behind every major advance throughout human history. All of it. Now, you may not like that, but that doesn't make it untrue. And yet,
well, shutting down the nuclear things is pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, and then we discover nuclear power, right, and how to contain it. And is it perfectly safe? No, of course it isn't. Nothing is perfectly safe, all right? We happen to, I mean, one of the insanities is we know how to stop, for example, the lung cancer that burning coal produces, because we know where it comes from now. We've known that for 70 years. And yet, rather than process that material out, comes from the thorium, by the way, that's embedded in coal.
This is way too complicated for any of our politicians.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. You'd say, well, but that costs a lot of money to take that material out. Oh, really? It does? There's 13 times as much energy available from the thorium as there is from burning the coal. You're telling me you can't get... That isn't an energy-positive thing to do? Of course it is. So why don't we do it?
There used to be ways where this stuff would move ahead. I don't know what... Two things I want to wonder, because I want to talk to Jack. Kind of, I want to keep on this part of, are we seeing kind of a reflection of ourselves? And we have a lot of people, as Trump has bashed Europe, and everybody, of course, if you're like him or you like any sort of the conservative agenda, you dive to the tables and you find out, is it any possible way the guy could be right? Right? I mean, he has his defenders.
Right.
I'm looking here at the amount of money that's owed to the U.S. by people we're beating up on in the last week. U.K. is now second. We owe them $888 billion. Let's see. Belgium is fourth, $481. Canada's fifth, $472. Luxembourg, $425. France, $376. Ireland, $340. Switzerland, $300. How exactly are we in charge when our own house is in this kind of mess?
Well, I think that's what you're seeing is that the degree of fraud and felony that has driven essentially all of the advance in the markets over the last 2-3 years. I mean, all this AI.
I would agree.
This is all at risk of an unwind. And, if you're on the wrong end of that, are you going to be an unhappy kid, right?
Well, John is our professor. John, how much are you retired? Well, you can never really retire. It's like you can't retire from being a Marine.
Well, same thing, yeah.
You certainly can't retire from being a lawyer. You're always going to be stuck with that. And who knows if you can get into heaven with that job. Just saying.
Well, any speculation on... The relevance of what's happening in Davos this week to any of this?
Why aren't we in Davos?
We are.
I'm talking about us.
Oh, well, you and I. Well, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
I tell you what, I would love, I don't care about any of the meetings, I'd plant my ass at the bar and just wait for people to sit next to me. Everybody talks to me. I'll tell you what, I'd have stories for Stacks and Jacks for 6 months.
And it'd be $100 a drink.
It'd be worth it. Besides, I might get somebody to buy something for me.
I don't know.
Make sure you record everything being said at the bar.
I have an unusual memory, John. You know that.
At a hundo a drink, I'm not sure you'd get your money's worth.
Well, those guys run the expense account. They'd be buying. They don't care.
Well, all right. That's fair. One of the things that I think is rather interesting about the whole Davos thing, did you hear that... This thing come out of here that this is all rumor because of course none of this is officially recorded, that there are some people blowing the horn on this about all this Richie Rich stuff, we're at a point where there's a negative return from that and from a standpoint of both social and economic impact.
You think?
This has the potential to get very bad very fast. And maybe we ought to be thinking about, where we've been with that and where we're going with it. And I was like, oh, you mean somebody actually said the quiet part out loud. Civil war.
since 11, I'm looking at this thing. Every time you look at something, you get a nugget out of it. China has gone from 786 to 682. in the last year, and their Britain has picked up that whole slack.
When I look at these kinds of realignments, you know, they tend to happen on a, you know, somewhat.
But we don't like Britain now. We like China.
Why? Yeah, you know,
they're going the other way, and who's investing in us?
Well, there's going to be, you know, needless to say, there's a problem with that. Then you look at the, you know, the other thing that happened is Canada has opened the door to BYD and other Chinese EVs coming in.
You know, they've also increased their investment in us at $100 billion in the last year, bastards.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, here it,
Jenna,
here it is.
If you read this, if you look at this thing, you would never dream what this thing's telling me here. I would never have guessed any of this. Who's up this much and who's down?
Yeah. I just look at some of these things and I say, okay, you know, the idea that all of the, you know, there's no realignment that's going to come that's going to be away from, you know, this and that. What I find fascinating is where the squeeze is actually going to show up in other places, because, you know, like this thing with silver, you know, if you're long of it, obviously you're having a really good time, right? And you know, have been for like the last 6 months or so.
Well, we got to the point, in full disclosure, which I always do, we have been chasing some calls, but then we got on top of the call, so today's all us.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, yeah. You've been having a really nice time for, you know, for a while here at the Punch Bowl.
The gold, we have not done anything. It's probably our single biggest holding. Two things. I can pat myself on the back for having a lot of my people into the GDX.
Yeah.
And I say that I could have put them there. I have discretionary authority, but we always discuss everything. And a lot of people were very conservative at the beginning of the year. We did like half gold, some silver, and maybe half T-bills. These are people that are retired and so forth. Well,
right.
I mean, we're doing spectacular on the gold and silver. But if I was a genius, we wouldn't have any T-bills. It would have been all gold, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can always do better.
The thing that I think is interesting about this, though, is that where, you know, silver, gold to some extent, but silver in particular is an industrial metal. Okay, you want to take a look at something that looks even more crazy. Look at copper.
I have a potential client that has almost 400,000 pounds of copper.
Okay.
I got a question for you, Ben Jan, excuse me on this one. How do you get from, let's say, you had a metal treatment facility, and you end up with a lot of wire and all kinds of other stuff. You've got all this copper, and it's got to be, I don't know what their term would be. It would have to be like dirty copper. There's other all kinds of crap. Where do you send that, or who can purify it? I mean, is that another whole industry that does that? I mean, obviously the stuff you get that you're grinding up washing machines, everything, you've got it, but it's not pure. It's certainly not something you could deliver to the CME. I mean, what next step do you take to where you get the stuff all pure?
Well, it has to be refined just like anything else.
Well, that's what I mean. Is you send it
to the steel industry? I mean, it's got to be. It's, you know, you can't, you know, use it right out of the ground. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think it's interesting because, you know, here over the last 12 months, you've got a, you know, better than 50% move, and boy, I'll tell you what, that's, you know, copper. Copper is used in, you know, basically anything electronic,
yep.
Right? It's used in any kind of construction, you know, building wiring, hello. And then, you know, silver is the same way. The Ross regulations, ROHS, from, oh God, that's got to be 20 years old now, essentially forced lead-based solder out of electronics. Okay, now there were all kinds of challenges in doing that because non-lead-based solder grows little whiskers over time, which, of course, when they get too big, they cause short circuits. That's bad.
I remember kids used to put their Heath kit together with solder in their bedroom with the windows closed. I'm going, I wonder if those guys got any brain cells left.
Well, that used to be mostly lead and antimony. okay, lead, tin, and antimony were the, you know, were the primary component. But yeah, I mean, I soldered all kinds of stuff with, you know, with lead-based solder when I was younger.
Maybe that's what happened to Flanagan. He was using too much solder.
Well, no, it was airplane glue when I was building my model cars.
That would explain it.
Well, there was that and then the solder. Between the two, that explains my craziness. All, you know, I mean, I don't need anything else, right? That's enough.
What did C. Hunt say in the movie? I picked the wrong day to stop sniffing glue.
Yeah, that's airplane, yeah.
Well, that was what's his name? He was C. Hunt.
Yeah. But the
Lloyd Bridges.
The thing that I, you know, what I think is interesting, though, is that all this stuff, the impact across different areas of the economy, particularly anything in technology, anything electronic, from all of these dislocation style moves is, you know, I mean, the obvious big ones are the stuff like with the memory and things like this. But silver and gold to some extent because of the plating on contacts, I mean, you're talking about a really big spike in terms of that component.
What part of it goes up and everybody wants in? Are you missing here?
Well, what you're missing is that if I want to hire a new employee and I got to put a computer and a monitor on their desk, and I can't, that's an embedded cost. What did I just do? I just doubled that embedded cost of putting that guy on the butt in a seat.
Well, allegedly it's India and some China, mostly India, that's grabbing it. How does anybody know that? I mean,
there's the tinfoil hat guys are out saying that, you know, this is because the dollar is about to collapse and, you know, go to zero. And I'm like, how many times have I heard that in my life? A bunch. And it hasn't happened, so there you go.
Well, people are anticipating Trump's takeover of the Federal Reserve and how much is he going to have to raise the money supply to drop the interest rates down to 1% where he wants?
Well, but the thing is, you look at the deficit numbers from the first 3 months, it's $600 billion. That's a quarter of the year, okay? Well, that's $2.4 trillion. Take that, divide it into GDP, and there's your money supply increase.
Well, Jan is every man. As usual, Carol and I were sort of arguing, even though we're not. By the way, just out of the blue, who would you say is the harder guy to agree with, Carol or Hal?
Huh.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Well, I have no problem agreeing with both of them.
I think it might be Hal. He hates to be agreed with. Must be the fact that he was in the Army or something, or Navy.
Well, the libertarian position.
Hey, Tom, you got to remember, I'm on listening, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've been listening since 7:10.
I think that's where the rabbit ears or whatever.
For me, the libertarian position was always, you know, a bridge too far. But after, you know, listening to Hal these years, I'm not so sure anymore.
The first time you hear libertarian thought, you're like, boy, that's crazy. Because the first time I heard it, I was like, wait a minute, we don't want a USDA? We don't want the FDA? I mean, wow, that's crazy. But, you know, Rothbard writes about this in the Progressive Era. Something like the USDA was a way for the big meatpackers of the turn of the century to outsource inspection to the taxpayer.
Yeah.
So when you first hear it, you're like, that's crazy, because the only world we've observed is this neo-mercantilist world that we currently live in. And mercantilism is what Marx was really raging against, right? So I think if Marx was here today, he would identify our current economic system as the one that was present for the most part in Prussia when he was a kid.
Well, Carl, what was it, the disease that was it the FDA or somebody stopped? How many kids it messed up in Europe and we stopped there?
The stuff with using a so-called antipsychotic in pregnant women. One woman in the FDA noticed it and stopped it. So we didn't have the epidemic of babies born with no arms that they did.
Well, how do you? Well, we're all here, and everybody.
But that was the thalidomide stuff. But here's the thing, that went, you know, the this was back when we actually we actually had regulators that were not through a revolving door with industry.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you didn't used to be able to do that kind of thing. You know, as I said, this was one woman. I have to look it up. I think her name was Frances. But it's one officer noted that there was a problem in the data and blocked the drug. She by herself managed to block the drug coming in. And the interesting thing is that they didn't know, of course, at the time why this happened. They didn't know what the mutagenic thing was that caused it. And, you know, 50, 60 years later, we actually figured out why it happened. And why the drug, you know, specifically what got changed in a gene by the drug that caused it to occur. But they were over in Europe, they considered women that had morning sickness and, you know, mood shifts during pregnancy, they considered them to be crazy. Right. And therefore, this was their answer to the problem, is drug them.
Well, what is the middle ground here, and George Stigler, you know, I was supposed to send this to Callan, I never did. It's a pamphlet he wrote regarding trying to regulate monopolies like the gas company and the electric company. And his point was that after 40 years of alleged regulation, you might have slowed it down a little bit, but the prices are exactly where they want them. they get there because they work the system. And yet, our friend Bill Moriarty, who comes on once in a while, who's been a civil engineer his whole life, and he said the people who work generally for your Illinois Highway Department, it's a real career, real guys. They're proud of it. They're very up on what they want to do. They're very good. They're as good as the guys that are in an industry, and it's a career, and we're losing those guys. So somewhere in the middle there, there's a group that you can't seem to stop the corruption. In other areas, you know, the guys that drive the bus every day and are pleasant to people and do a good job. I don't know where the line is there, where all of a sudden things come unglued, but clearly they do, don't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the I think one of the biggest questions is that how much, you know, this is, and this is one of the things I've pointed out for a very long time, is that whenever you start with some kind of extraction game, okay, whatever it is, that then becomes part of the base of your economic view, right? And if I make $100 today, and then I have a 3% increase, now it's $103. Well, Wall Street's not going to be satisfied with less than 3% next year. But that's 103% of $103,
yep.
Not $100, right? And so this is an exponential series. And one of the things that I have noted throughout my entire life is that one of the biggest weaknesses in human beings in terms of comprehending what's going on is that nobody understands exponents. Absolutely nobody.
And well, yet, you get into what they don't understand about economics, and I'm sure Jack could say what they don't understand about law either.
Well, but I mean, the thing is that nobody gets that any exponential series cannot possibly continue forever because we live on a rock of finite size and mass. And that's just the truth. Well, and so at some point, this must end.
But it's a great sale, isn't it?
At some point it must end, whether you like it or not.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, I understand that, but you know, but you take a look at, you know, any time that you see a chart that has, lower left to the upper right is a straight line is one thing. Lower left to the upper right that has that nice little curve in it, that's going to blow up in your face.
Well, especially Hal, I don't know if Jack would have been much help, but he might have been. I had a big debate with some people over the Bear Stadium the other night. And there was a lady on News Radio 78 yesterday during the business hour. I happened to be driving around, and she gets on there, and she's an alleged economist. I don't know if you heard this, Jan.
I didn't know.
Hey, if anybody wants to be an economist, hey, I welcome it. I don't think you need a PhD. I think you just need to read widely. And some of the best economists I've ever met were guys that just read, like, Mises and Rothbard. I mean, they read these books. And a lot of PhD economists, they're in their little narrow areas of research focus, and they don't make very good economists. I think the best economists are ones that read widely and are just general thinking economists. So I welcome her to the club.
Are you you're a real PhD? You're not one of those that Papa has dough?
Well, I have a PhD.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was trained in classical models. I mean, that's what a PhD program is, right? And yeah, I was exposed to Keynesianism, but post-PhD training, while I was teaching, I never really was baptized in the mainstream orthodoxy because I had one or two economics classes as an undergraduate, and they were 8 years apart, sandwiched my Navy service. So I was never really indoctrinated in mainstream economic thinking. And I only went to a PhD program in economics because I love math and I love talking economics. But when I started teaching, I realized that a lot of the stuff I got to flush. And the hyper-specialization within academic fields, economics, medicine, or whatnot, I think it's the problem with the professions. I think you have to... I prefer talking to a doctor who is a general practitioner, because I think general practitioners are more interested in the causes of disease than fixing the symptoms, and specialists are focused on fixing the symptoms. And that's the same problem with like a field like economics. You have these very hyper focused people who never talk to anybody outside of their area, and they become a statistician who for the most part tries to do economics. And that's the problem with specialization. So I welcome people, and you know, the more widely you read, I think the better you get at it.
Well, yeah, I think John.
Generally, I would agree with that.
John, you were going to say something.
Well, I agree. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing, and the more basis you have, the better. I certainly saw that in academic life in the humanities, where, you know, the people with tunnel vision were the people you couldn't talk to. I mean,
those people with tunnel vision are the ones in a silo. The specialization kind of forces them into a silo of economic expertise, and the only people they talk to are the people who are in that little silo of that little corner of their PhD that they are masters of, and that siloing is the problem we have on social media, where you're either left or you're right, and if you're in the middle and you try to have conversations with both people respectfully, you don't get any following. You have to be really radical, or you have to. On X, for example, if you throw out the talking points of progressives, you might be able to get a following, especially if you punctuate your tweets with the F word. And the same thing goes for conservatives on the right. If you're trying to have conversations with people, it's really hard to build a social media following.
Well, you have to understand something else too, is that I've run some tests on X since Elon took it over, right? Since he took it back or took it over, whatever you want to call it. And it's rather interesting because supposedly, according to X, I have, let's see, 11.9K, so 11,900 followers, okay? That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's not horrible, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I put one of my articles up there with enough, as much text as I can, within the limit of not being a paying guy, right, on his site. And I put up a description of what it is and a link to that article. All right. And then I go ahead and I send that. 12 hours later, I come back and it's only been surfaced to 300 people.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Now, the reason the algorithm did that is because there was a link in there that as soon as you click it, you come off the site, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem that this generates. Let's say that I make some completely outrageous claim, okay?
Well, that would never happen.
Trump is a literal Nazi. He's shooting people in the middle of the street, right? He's told his guys to go out there.
And you punctuate with the word, the F word, if you punctuate.
Yeah,
with the F word.
But some completely, space aliens landed in the middle of Grant Park this afternoon at 1:04 p.m., right? I mean, something completely ridiculous.
And
I'm not so sure he didn't, actually.
Well, maybe maybe it's going to happen, right? You know, today. But someone else, and that gets, you know, because it's so crazy and over the top, it gets retweeted, it gets reliked, it gets, yep, you know, gets 5,000 comments, it blows up into this viral thing, and it's complete crap. Somebody comes along with a receipt that proves I'm lying. But in order to do that, they have to link an outside source in order to actually bring the receipt. So, you know, let's say, for example, that I say that some part of the economy is like doing something, and the receipt's in the MTS. Well, in order for me to prove it, I have to link the MTS, yeah, right? Because I can exactly say it, but in order for me to prove it, I must reference an authoritative outside source. That gets buried.
Well, since when? Nobody has any sources.
Well, no, you know,
but
Carl...
Chief, the point is this. That gets buried. And 3% of the people that interacted with the original outrageous claim will see the fact that I lied. Only 3%. Yeah. Okay, now that's nothing. And this is true on all of these social media systems. Yeah. And it's not that they're trying to prevent you from bringing a receipt. It's that if you take the eyeballs off there, they lose the advertising.
Right? Well, you know, Carl, I think one way to counteract that is to take a screenshot of the article, and then instead of using the link, use a screenshot of the article, and then maybe in a comment, include the link.
No, because as soon as I do that, you cannot link anything that takes the eyeballs off the site, okay, gets buried. So yes, I can take a screenshot, but what if I fabricated it? And by the way, people do that all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just trying to see what would happen if
I think the problem with X is it essentially is creating a system where citations, in fact, are irrelevant for if you want to gain viewership. And that's the problem I have is I'm always tweeting to an article. I support my tweets with links to articles. And when I'm criticizing a Republican, I'll use Fox News. And when I'm criticizing a Democrat, I'll use the New York Times. I'll link the articles because you can find the articles. If you're a libertarian, you can find the articles that will take down a progressive argument or a conservative argument if you use their media. If you criticize a conservative article with the New York Times, the conservatives will disregard it.
How come you libertarian dudes can't find some better candidates so I can vote for them?
Oh, I know the past set of candidates. Oh man, they're so bad.
Wait a minute. Now, I used to be on the EC in Florida. Okay, so I was a party official within the Libertarian Party for the state, and I tried to get these guys interested because this is completely within the Libertarian Party's remit and and their supposed their supposed platform in going after the medical monopolists.
Yeah.
All right. And I, you know, and I pointed out to them, look, if you ever want to be anything other than an annoyance to people and and basically a reason for people to sit around and play with themselves under the desk at the, you know, at the convention, in other words, you actually want to win something, okay, you need an 80% issue. Yeah. Which means you need something that 80% of the population is going to agree with you on. Now, you're never going to get a 100% issue. That never happens with anyone. But here's the thing. The 20% who will disagree, which is everybody employed in the medical system, if you go after this, they're going to want your head if you take this position. They're going to be extremely upset and angry and scream and da-da-da-da-da-da. But the other 80% of the population, if you point out to them that they could pay one-fifth of what they pay today and get equal or better care than they get today, they'd love you. If you could get them to believe it, of course. But if you ran on that... That's a powerful platform position.
Yeah, but the whole problem with that is you have the media watchdogs, the media partners of the parties. You have the, you know, the...
I'm not saying you wouldn't get attacked by everybody, because you would.
Yeah. Okay? Well, like, for example, the legacy media, they're basically an arm of the Democratic Party. And Fox News and similar media, the Post maybe, they're for the conservatives. So they have... That free, if you will, those are free political contributions. I mean, if you watch Fox News, it's a freaking political ad for Trump. If you watch the other media, it's a political ad for
you. Got to get over to Newsmax.
Yeah, I mean, but that's you know, that's sort of the
these news organizations are propaganda outfits.
Jan, help me with this, because what our guys are missing, because they're lost in the math here someplace. The truth of it is, unfortunately, if you walk in to a political thing and you're giving a speech and you're trying to get voters, if you were to say something about monopoly and medical stuff and how you're going to figure out a way to make it cheaper for everybody, if you have 15 doctors or executives in the room, you've immediately lost their vote.
Yeah.
The other people, the other 85 people, may agree with you, but what you just said was not strong enough to gain their vote. You can only lose votes. You can't really gain them. John, am I right or wrong?
It's about the volume of the message, and the media has understood this for a very long time, and they've got their illusion of expertise, but that just translates to control. That they demolish an opposition because they say they can. And they got the power to do it. So, I mean, I agree completely with what you're saying about social media, Carl. I mean, it's not a way of transmitting dangerous stories and getting a groundswell of opinion, because once you have to go outside of the site to get any kind of support, which is what you want to do if you're an honest person posting on there, you're not going to get the exposure. So it's a completely foreclosed avenue. And that's the thing that people don't want to admit about social media, I think.
Well, the microcosm of this is, look at, you guys aren't inundated with it, thank God. The microcosm of this Bears stadium and the Bears having, two weekends in a row where people are all giddy about the Bears, which, by the way, I don't have a problem with. But I listened to this lady yesterday, and this is what, when everybody on the show, not just you guys, because I do as bad as you guys, or as good, whatever you want to say, is you like to see people learn something. And it looks to me like we're not learning much. This lady is an alleged economist, and she was like a stump speaker for the Bears in how much the Bears mean to the economy. And this is the exact conversation I had with my, MBA lawyer, loser buddy, whatever you want to call it. And I go, okay, let's start the beginning. I felt like I was hell. Did the Bears create any money? What do you mean? I said, where does the money come from that fills the bars up last Saturday night and this Sunday night? Where does it come from? You see, the bars that are busy are the ones that are on TV. Now, I'm going to guess if you went to a Mexican or Chinese, maybe, or a German restaurant that doesn't have a TV, you're going to find nobody there. So some of it is money coming from some other place. Is it out of people's entertainment budget, which means they won't go out for the rest of the week? Is it, if they decided because the Bears are winning, they're going to take $1,000 out of savings that they never would, and they're bringing
or
that out?
Or use their credit card.
Or use a credit card. I mean, where is it coming from? Is it?
Or they're paying 20%.
I said, is it accretive? They said, well, people come from all around. I said, whoa, people come from Green Bay. So you're going to get me on that one. If 15,000 people came from Green Bay, Illinois gets that money, and guess what? Wisconsin loses it. But it's still, we didn't make any money here. We were shifting it around. Now, if the Bears happen to win and 15,000 people from here go to Seattle next week, what does that do? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, now that money's going to Seattle. Everybody thinks that somehow it's this massive gain for everybody. I mean,
It's not a game, because if they spend $2,000 for a ticket for, a group of people as a, a family, that's money that they're not going to be able to use for a trip they might have taken for spring break.
This is so clear to the four of us, and yet, Hal, they're beating the drums here like if it's made money.
Oh,
like,
yeah, the economist, she's getting paid to advocate on behalf of the Bears stadium, it sounds like. So whenever somebody is an advocate for something, you gotta divide their evidence by 10, maybe.
Now, if she's getting paid $50,000 to do it, we might consider it.
Yeah.
even an Austrian economist might do it for 50. Wait a minute.
If the Bears were to move to Gary, let's say, I mean, it would be probably I don't know if you call it a boom for the south suburbs and, you know, the portion of Illinois where Gary is commutable, but it would be a loss for, you know, everything north of, you know, what the Wisconsin line. People aren't going to make that trek just to go to a Bears game.
Well, it's going
to
be a loss. It'll be a loss for Gary.
Yeah, it'll be, of course. This is the thing about the whole sports, you know, luring teams away, you know, giving them tax breaks and everything to build a state. All that stuff was lost on me a long time ago because it's just delaying the inevitable. This is a shrinking audience, and these municipalities are going into hock for what? You know.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Chief, did you hear the thing out of the Miami football player the other day?
Boy, those guys, never mind. Okay, I was going to say, it does look like the most cerebral of teams, but go ahead.
University of Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this the Hurricanes? Apparently, he was asked in an interview, I saw this and my jaw just dropped. He's like, well, you know, because they had to play the playoff game, right? And sort of like, you know, did you go to class? You know, did you manage to go to class?
That was Carson. That was Carson, the quarterback.
And he comes back and he says, oh, I graduated 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And all right, so can we stop with this pretense that this is actually about, this has anything to do with education?
Yeah, it's nothing to do with education.
This is just purely professional. It's another professional football league. That's all it is.
It's
a professional football league where the labor market is really free, unlike except
it kind of is, but it kind of isn't, right? Because of all the NIL stuff and the portal and all this nonsense. And it's like, the problem is it's corrupted both the game. Yeah. You know, you just saw this NCAA thing where they apparently busted a bunch of people that were paying $30,000 a game to throw them.
Yeah,
basketball. All right. Now that, of course, is tied to the fact that there's a lot of betting going on. Duh. But the other thing about this is it's destroyed academics.
Right.
All right. So now,
I think the public school system, in a lot of regards, has done its share of destroying the education.
No, this is where these people. You know what the average age was the Indiana team?
Yeah, like 23, 24, right?
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. So, hey, by the way.
Are they Mormon?
That
sounds like a Mormon team.
But now, or is it, Carl? I mean, the other flip side is when you see the Wild West like this, well, you still have, they're our best friends, Jan, but our idiot friends, they still think there's this massive link to Notre Dame, that somehow we, meaning Notre Dame, is the most holy amongst with the new world, and I'm going, that won't last. I mean, if they ever lose, it won't last. But it might end up with, if somebody goes to law school and in school for 7 years, why can't he play? Well, the NFL is going to end up, these guys are going to compete with the NFL. They're no longer going to be the farm system.
Oh, no, I get that. And you know, I mean, that if we're not already there, right? But yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff's nuts. I'll tell you what. Oh, here's another economic thing. We just got the first prints for the day on the IRX TNX spread. Skyrocket would be a correct description.
What do you make of the go a little further? What do you make of this huge? Well, huge. It's up to almost seven. The difference between the 30 and the 10 is for the first time is sneaking up too.
Well, here's the one that nobody's talking about, the Japanese bond market, okay? Which, believe it or not, there's still an awful lot of carry game garbage.
But still, they're up to what, 2 point something?
Well, their 30-year I think broke 3 the other day. That if that unwinds, and the leverage, because of the way these guys play, where they, you know, they buy something and then they turn around, they use that as collateral to.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but you know, the Japan is almost up as high as Europe.
Well,
you never guessed you'd see that, did you?
No, you never did, right? But there it is, and the problem is that sort of arbitrage game with the leverage that those people use when they play in that field. If that unwinds, the implications across all of the other asset markets are going to be really nasty.
Well, if Trump does go through these tariffs on the European nations to pull Greenland away from Denmark, You know, they own a $1 trillion and roughly $1 trillion in treasuries in total, I think.
You missed that part earlier. I was rattling them off.
Yeah. If they start selling that off, you know.
What do you mean by a trillion? United Kingdom, $888 billion.
I mean, in total.
No, I'm talking Belgium, $481 billion. We're already over a trillion.
Oh, okay.
Canada, $472 billion. Luxembourg, $425 billion. France, $376 billion.
How much in total?
Okay, Chief, how much of a loss do they want to take if they do that?
Well, the Europeans,
This works, right? Bonds, you know, yield moves inverse to price, right? And vice versa, right? Yeah. So if you go start dumping them, you're going to eat an enormous loss.
I'm going
to
say,
are they willing to do that?
That's a good question, Hal. Because you know what,
the European nations for 1,000 years have been the nations of world wars. You got the 100-year wars. You got the World War One, World War Two. You have all these wars. You have the Napoleonic Wars, which was a world war. They're a group of nations that love to go to war with each other, and go to war with other nations. So this would just be another expensive war for them.
I think what you sort of need to do.
But what happens there, Hal, is that if you dump them like that, that's instant. That is an instant operating deficit within that government, and that is going to drive inflation to the moon in those countries.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, you know, they're not really interested. I don't know if they really care because their energy policies are ridiculous. Germany.
Okay,
these guys are insane, I think. I'm not putting them past it to maybe dump some of them to cause us some pain.
We could do something simple, like if you were them, we'd put Mr. Flanagan in charge of this.
Yeah.
The average American has no idea that we owe these guys $3 trillion or whatever it is.
Is it $3 trillion that we owe
I was up to 2 point something, and I was I only went through about six.
Yeah, you weren't done.
I wasn't done. I'm saying, why every time that there's we go for an auction here.
Although, you know, the Federal Reserve could buy those bonds, and with its interest on reserves acting as a price ceiling, it could throttle the inflation that's created by it. But
there's no way. I'm just saying, what if, you know, they wanted...
Well, Tom, if you go back to 2008, when we had almost no reserves, you know, very few excess reserves relative to the total, and then all of a sudden we add $600 billion in reserves, because we had interest on reserves, we didn't see a hyperinflation. Had we not had interest on reserves, we probably would have saw a lot higher inflation.
If
you go back in 2008 and you say, oh, the Fed's going to buy $600 billion in bonds in the next 6 months... Everybody thinking, oh, we're going to have inflation. But we had interest in reserves that kept that stuff in the bank.
If you wanted to do something like this, what Mayor Richard J. Daley would do, because he was a master of the subtle use of power, every time we do a bond auction, they have to believe these guys are all there with a rollover, right? I mean, they're getting some 10-year and they're buying the next 10-year. Yeah. What if seven of them said, you know what, we're tired of this guy insulting the hell out of us. Why don't we
F this?
We're getting back, you know, $600 billion, and they expect us to come right back with the $600 billion. What if we do $540 billion? Just see what happens. A little bit of a message, just a little tug, just a little poke, not a punch, just a little poke.
Well, I think this excursion into Greenland is going to create less demand for treasuries in the dollar, so. That's a bit of a problem, I think.
The French general said we could be at war with America. He goes, what manner of moron would create this kind of a situation?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of...
Well, according to the NATO treaty, this is the really funny part. According to the NATO treaty, if a NATO nation is attacked, the United States has to defend it, so we'd be at war with ourselves.
Well, maybe we already are.
Our Navy would be fighting our army, and our army would be fighting our Navy.
I don't know... the nuts and bolts of this, and whenever you go on YouTube, this guy is allegedly from Denmark, I was talking about earlier, and he says, you know, the U.S. used to have 30 bases in Greenland.
Yeah.
And we have somewhat of a treaty, maybe, hell, you know more about this than others, you and the Navy, it says we can do whatever we want over there. He goes, you guys left, we didn't kick you out. If you want to come back, just ask. you don't have to take over the place, you don't have to steal the gold.
I think Trump's leveraging crazy. He usually leverages crazy to get something that was politically possible. I think he's leveraging crazy here to get something.
In one corner, we have the followers that are convinced there's some sort of a moral, you know, whatever, moral holding with this guy. But this is all some kind of a way of negotiation that we just don't understand, but he's so good at it, just let him roll.
I'm not saying he's good at it. I'm saying,
in the other corner, you got a maniac in charge of the world's biggest defense thing in the world. And I don't know, I hope the first group is right. But everything the guy does, this thing in Venezuela, his buddy Singer got the first delivery of the oil from Venezuela.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't want Greenland for a base. He wants it because he thinks there's gold there or something.
Let me pose this question. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. But let me ask you a question. If Hillary Clinton was president and she wanted to annex Greenland, do you think there'd be this much opposition to it?
Yes.
I don't think there would be.
Well, there would be for me. There would be for me.
Well, there would be for me, just like there is for me with not wanting Trump to take Greenland. But do you think the media in general...
Yeah.
And the Democrat Party would be... No, they would support it.
In 6 months in office, he's blowing up NATO, for God's sake. I don't care if Hillary did it. Maybe if George Washington did it, I think there was a reason for it.
Take, for example, what happened with Muammar Gaddafi. When Muammar Gaddafi was not captured and tried, but executed via CIA black op operation, Hillary Clinton and the news media laughed about it. They executed this guy, and they laughed about it. But when Trump takes the guy out of...
Muammar Gaddafi had hijacked how many planes and killed people?
They go nuts.
John, how many people did he hijack planes and kill people? He was an international criminal. He was on a level of what's his name?
Yeah, but he was playing ball with us at that time. He was our ally. He was our ally at the time. He was playing ball. He gave up his programs, and we go in and kill the
dude. I don't.
And the media's okay with that, but when you arrest a guy like the dictator of Venezuela's run the country in the ground, you arrest them and try them.
Well,
they think that's worse than executing the head of state.
You would think.
All I'm saying, Tom, is if Biden or Clinton were taking Greenland like Trump is, I oppose both parties doing this. But if Biden was taking it or Hillary Clinton was taking it, there'd be no outrage and there'd be applauding.
I'm going to say absolute bull.
I don't think so. The way the media and the Democrats responded to Barry Barack Obama killing people with drones overseas, which included Americans, and no outrage over that.
I think there was a lot of outrage.
There wasn't outrage like there is when Trump does it. I'm saying both are wrong, but the level of outrage when Trump does something versus when the Democrats do it. It's completely the opposite.
I think because he's
and
stringing
that's the problem with our media.
He's stringing them together. He's using the I word too much. He doesn't.
Well, every politician uses the I.
He doesn't consult. Here, I have
Hey, I oppose all this action. All I'm doing is I'm pointing out the fact that
Carl,
the legacy media is a political arm of the Democrats, and Fox News is a political arm of the Republicans.
Well, I got news for you. I got people around me to watch Newsmax. I've never seen anything more disgusting in my life.
Well, if you're a Republican and you watch legacy media, you say the same thing.
But I don't know what the problem. See, we talked about this last week, Mr. Flanagan. You're the attorney. this whole what's going on in society. I'm one of these guys that don't blame society, but you can't have a conversation with anybody. Say, I saw
because people five, are
five, five, I saw five meeting. Guys. Driving on the shoulder on a Stevenson 100 miles an hour, where the hell are police? Oh, man, you should see Miami. What's that got to do with anything?
Yeah, well...
What does it have to do with anything? I mean,
Nothing, Chief, but look, you take a look at the reporting about what happened in Minneapolis with Good, right? All right, I saw over the weekend a half dozen mainstream media stories and read them. All right. Now, assuming I knew absolutely nothing about what had happened in Minneapolis.
What are we talking about in Minneapolis?
The chick that got plugged by
the chick that got murdered by the guy. Yeah. Okay.
The chick that tried to run over.
No, he didn't.
Yes, she did. The video.
Well, her husband was egging her on.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. She was
and she admitted that it was her fault.
Right. And oh, by the way, the guy that she hit had his phone camera going, okay? She stared right at him as she hit the gas.
She hit the gas after she got shot.
No, she did not. The gun did not come out all right, until she accelerated.
Stop.
Hold on.
There's a question here. There's a question here of training. And what are we going to do?
Chief. No.
The guy was highly trained.
The guy was actually a SWAT officer. He was not one of these guys that people say, oh, you know, they're just paying people $50,000 to go join ICE. That's not who he was. And by the way, he'd been dragged previously in a previous arrest.
So he was dying to kill somebody.
He nearly got killed.
Okay, here's
so here's the thing. He was actually treated for internal injuries after the impact. Now, but here's the point. You never want to let me finish the point on stuff like this. I read these articles. There are half dozen of them over the weekend. Not a single one of them said anything about him being struck by the vehicle. And yet the video is absolutely clear that he was.
But there is no capital punishment for what... Here's the story. If the four of us, no matter what it is, if it's these goons or whatever, some of them are goons, some of them aren't, if it was these, or if we were doing something simple like the four of us decide we're going to have a drunk driving stop, we're going to have a stop for something, I have a hunch that the four people that we're talking about here, meaning us four, are smart enough to say, okay, we're going to have 35 people in line waiting, and there's going to be a delay where we're checking licenses, seeing if somebody could even talk. What are we going to do if somebody pulls out of line because he has to take a pee, because he's drunk and he wants to get out of there, or if he's just impatient? How are we going to keep people in line, and what are we going to do if somebody pulls out? And if somebody were to say, well, I'm going to jump right in front of him, and by the way, with my gun drawn, and if they hit me, I'm going to shoot the hell out of them. I don't think the four of us...
If the Minneapolis police were doing what a police department is supposed to do, there would never have been any of this stuff happening. Problem now is that, you know, I really believe that the dissension that all this stuff is causing is happening in soft states. By that, I mean people who have been progressive for far too long. So you take states like Minnesota and Oregon and Washington, where there's been a breakdown in what the police are supposed to do. And all this plays into, you know, dare I say it, you know, the Marxist mindset that by, you know, turning people against each other, you foment the kind of economic revolution.
Tom,
we're playing by the play.
You guys are hoping that your guy didn't just execute somebody. The fact is, somebody's dead.
Tom, first of all, they're not my guys, but John is right. Do you know what's going on in Memphis? A Democrat-controlled mayor is cooperating with ICE, and ICE is taking criminal aliens off the street, and the Democratic mayor
taking
of Memphis
All I know is what's happening here, and it's a friggin' race war. Anybody who's Hispanic gets hauled in.
But this is what they want you to think, Tom.
The thing in Broadview, what's her name? Nome comes out and says, we're going after the worst. They detained 640 people. This is their own records. People that wouldn't let the priest in, do confessions, do communion, wouldn't anybody inspect the place. Out of 640 people, only 16 of them had warrants for them. The others were just happened to be Hispanics. They arrested all these people. They were going here. Maybe the other places are doing it better. I don't know. They would scooping up everybody at the Home Depot, and if somebody found out where you were and you brought your citizenship papers, everybody was guilty until proven innocent. Is that the Hispanic way to do things?
But Tom, come on. In Minnesota, the reason why there's riots and whatnot is to scrub the $16 billion fraud off the news. In Memphis, a Democratic mayor is cooperating with ICE, and ICE is just deporting with the help of the mayor.
You're not going to get me to agree with the mayor of Chicago. You're never going to get me to agree.
What I'm saying is it's happening in a peaceful way.
You have people armed to the teeth with questionable training wearing masks descending on people. That's not our country.
But they're not.
I'm sorry.
They're not descending on anybody. This woman pulled out in front of and impeded an arrest.
And she deserved to arrest her.
No, she didn't deserve to die for that. She was ordered out of the car. She refused to get out of the vehicle. She did exactly the same thing that a guy here, a citizen here, did, except he got away after he killed the cop. And then there was a manhunt to find him. And by the way, his girlfriend, who merely said on the phone to him, "They're here, the cops," she was charged as an accessory after the fact.
You're never gonna,
and she is in the dock. She's going to do felony time in Tennessee.
If a policeman would have done that, okay? And by the way, the film, if she actually rammed into the dude, that's all he could do. I'm not saying I can't go there with this.
She hit him.
Okay. I watched the film.
So did I.
He jumped right in front of the thing. Anyway.
Yes, he got right in front of the car, which he had the right to do.
No, he doesn't.
Stop her from leaving.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
All right.
She was ordered out of the vehicle, and she refused to get out.
If it would have been a normal, if something like that would have happened to a policeman, his gun would have been confiscated, he'd been put on the desk arrest, and there would have been a huge investigation. There's none of that. He's just okay. The president came out and said,
"No, he's not okay. He's not okay. He's actually."
I think they're investigating it.
They are.
Not the way the normal policeman would be. He's not off duty. His gun's not been. The car.
Excuse me, Chief. Not only is he off duty, he's being sequestered on a military base because the people in Minneapolis threatened to kill him and his family. He is not on duty.
He does not. Okay, we're going nowhere with this. I don't want a whole bunch of people running around with a life. Do you realize how hard it is to execute somebody?
Do you want to know something? I hope I never have to shoot someone. I hope I never do. But I promise you, if you or anybody else strike me with your vehicle while staring at me and I'm armed, I'm going to shoot you. And I'm not going to go to jail for it. You are going to be dead,
fine.
And it's going to be your fault.
Everybody wants everybody hung, but nobody wants to be the hangman.
No, I
don't want the government to kill anybody. But
I don't want anybody to get to die. But look, when the lights come on and the cop says, "Get out of the car," you have a choice.
That's not the way we would have set this up if we were training these people. We would have had maybe a couple of cars on the side.
There's no incident. There's no riot. There's no protest in Memphis because the mayor and his police department are working with federal
agents. So you think a masked army like this is okay in our country.
Tom, you got to ask your question. Why are they wearing a mask?
I don't know, because Trump told them to.
The protesters are wearing masks.
I didn't see that.
Why are the protesters wearing masks?
You know why they're wearing masks, Chief?
Because they don't want to get hurt.
No, you know what?
They don't want to get identified.
The reason they're wearing masks is because these so-called protesters have been doxing these guys and showing up their house and threatening to kill their children.
Exactly, but the protesters are wearing masks.
Right.
Why do the protesters get to wear a mask? Everybody's wearing masks, Tom.
Everybody. I've seen these guys. I've never seen.
And COVID let them do it.
By the way, it's also like, 10 below zero in Minneapolis about now, too.
But the protesters wearing masks. The police officer wearing masks. Why? Because everybody involved
in
unnecessary violence is worried about losing their job or getting doxed.
This is amazing overkill. In Chicago, all I saw is people who were not. If you didn't have your papers with you, one of the guys that works in the building, he said they grabbed some guy that he thought was a citizen. We went to pick his kid up at school. They've never seen the guy again.
Tom, the immigration laws are set. They're federal rules. If you don't like them, change them. But when I was a kid on our farm, we had five guys who would come from Mexico every spring, work our farm, and then every once in a while, immigration services would show up in their white vans. They would round up the guys because they had no papers, and they would send them back to Mexico. My brothers and I were in sixth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade. We'd have to move the handpipe until the guys got back from Mexico. So this is these deportations. If you don't have papers, I'm an advocate of no passports or no border walls.
As you well know, first of all, I don't want to argue about this anymore
But Tom, these deportations have been going on forever, and if you're here. If you're here as an immigrant,
there's a lot of people in this country.
I have to have my driver's license in my wallet. A driver's license is a legal paper. I have to carry my driver's license anytime I drive a vehicle. If I don't have my driver's license, I get arrested. I'm not going to ride over it. These are the laws. If you don't like them, change the laws.
There's some laws we decide we're going to enforce and some not.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, Chief. What have I been talking about with the medical system and everything else? We got some laws that, you know, that, hey, you're supposed to do 10 years and pound you in the butt federal prison for price fixing.
All right, we had your buddy Elon with his Doge idiots fly into Social Security.
He's not my buddy.
Okay, we fly into Social Security.
I don't have very many buddies, Tom.
You got me. I'm a buddy.
I'm an Austrian who is a little L libertarian.
No, you're not. You're a monetarist closet.
I'm a pragmatic Austrian and a little L libertarian. So there's nobody in my club. You're I'm not myself.
You're the illegitimate son of Milton Friedman, I think.
Well. So what's that make me for crying out loud?
I hear Milty cannon around. Actually, I don't think anybody that guy ever cannon around. But
I love Milty, man. The guy is just so skilled at answering questions, man. It's just crazy. All these loaded questions, he just comes off and answers them without any fear.
Well, if you read I read a lot of his stuff, but you look at what those guys had to do in research.
Oh yeah!
I mean, you had to have an army of PhD.
One chart would be, how the hell would you even find that in 19 wherever the hell he was looking for it?
Chief,
they had to go through those paper records.
Yeah, one of the problems that is driving a lot of this BS, okay, and I'm somewhat to blame for this because I was one of the people that actually built the internet we all use today, right? Unlike Al Gore, but yeah, I mean I wasn't the only one by a stretch of the imagination. I was one of thousands, but. Still, is that you there when you published a book or a newspaper or a magazine, and you know, if I wanted to research a drug's side effects and its study prior to the internet, I had to go somewhere that had a med library, right? That had those subscriptions. But
boy, how many places had med libraries? Ew.
Oh well, this made it difficult, right? Yeah. If I wanted to do legal research, I had to go somewhere that had a law library.
It's a stupid question. Law libraries were kept up by like a service. John knows all about this, but if you went to the University of Chicago Med Library, would it cover tests from like Sloan Hopkins and stuff or not?
Well, you'd have to. It works the same way as it does with any of the other libraries used to work, which is that you had to request it at the CERC desk, and then you know they did the interlibrary loan thing to get it.
Okay.
Because in most cases
they actually shipped the stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Wow. I used to do that all the time. I used to go into regular libraries and there was something I wanted that they didn't have, but some other library within the system did, and that you know that they had an inter loan agreement. And 2 weeks later, they call you and say, hey, your thing's here.
Wow, I didn't know.
MIT library, the Sloan Library, is where I did my lit review for my dissertation. I was doing a summer internship with Volpe National Engineering Lab, and right across the street was a Sloan Library. Yeah. It was freaking incredible. Every article that I needed, I was able to download, and I downloaded it and printed it at work, along with the lit review I was doing for my project, which was a modification of the HERS highway cost benefit analysis system.
Yeah.
I did both lit reviews simultaneously on two different computers at the Sloan, and they had freaking every subscription you can think of.
Yeah, but here's the problem. All right, so like when I used to do that kind of stuff, all right, it was slow. It was laborious because you had
to go. It
wasn't
slow at MIT Sloan Library, man. It was
well, fat. No, I'm just saying, like, if they didn't have what you wanted and they had to order it, you know, it took them a week.
Oh, they had everything. They had everything, Carl.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, it would take me a week to get something, right? Yeah. And then, you know, then that's one of the things. And then I want, you know, five more sources. Well, guess what? It takes a while. Okay. Today, we all have a pocket computer, you know, in our hand. And we have a bigger one on our desk or a laptop or whatever have you, it's instant. But the problem is this, you can't kill the copy of the paper report of a medical study. You can't change it because it was printed and it's on paper.
Yep.
All right. Today, I go online and I look stuff up. How do I know it hasn't been tampered with?
Yeah.
All right, and by the way, a lot of stuff is tampered with. One of the things, Chief, one of the things I used to do...
You'd want a guy like me who actually runs it off from the computer.
Well, you know what? So, you know, every
or Carl, an article that you read 5 years ago, you go try to find on Google. Google has buried it in like page 1,000 of the search, man.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, and Google, along with the other search engines, went from being just an index to something that now has their quote unquote preference added on top of it.
You
right?
have to Which go 10 pages
things,
in.
I'm just saying, it makes things very difficult. All right. But here's the thing, Chief.
The first 100 links are the same article published by a different website.
Well, so one of the things, you know, Chief, first Friday we do the jobs thing, right? And I give you my view on it as soon as it comes out. I have the same Excel spreadsheet that I've kept since the late 1990s on my machine that I update with a handful of key numbers that come out of that report every month.
Now, if you go back, do they still match or no?
Ah, here's the problem. Go try to find those.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. That's and by the way, I used to do, back around the time of the 08 crash, I used to do a quarterly report every 3 months when the Z1 came out, which, of course, is the big flow of funds data out of the Federal Reserve. And I kept local copies of some of the main tables on my own system the same way I did with what the Labor Department does. The Federal Reserve, shortly after they started playing around during that crash, specifically the changes that Obama made with student loans and things like this, along with the fact that the Fed was buying Fannie and Freddie paper that wasn't guaranteed with full faith and credit, which is illegal.
Yep.
Now, of course, you know, Congress retroactively made it legal by...
Well, they also stole Fannie and Freddie, which was illegal, too.
Well, they did a lot of things, okay, that were not by the law. Okay, but here's the thing. Then, the one time, the Z1 comes out, I go in there, I go to pick up the data and lay it into my table, and they have completely destroyed where everything is. To the point that it won't. Not only can I not overlay it, I can't reconstruct what they did.
But even the simple, stupid stuff that I look at, that's why I need you guys to go deeper. Is it used to be like even on the monthly treasury, they'd give you the months of this year, then on top it would go back like 12 years, and now they go back like 3. They keep snagging a little bit of data off everything you read every time.
Right. Well, and then and the MTS. The other thing that Treasury's done is now they've gone to all, they've still got the current month and the last few months of actual PDFs, right? But they've gone back. They've gone into there and turned around, and they're now trying to get you to use their data grab, all right, which generates real time report. That is a problem, because how do I know that they haven't tampered with that?
Well, and add to this the fact that you've got AI creating data that doesn't exist. So like law firms are citing cases that were never filed anywhere. And then you've got a corrupt peer review process for academic publishing, where you can completely twist whatever you want in what you're reviewing and get it published despite its inaccuracies or lies or everything else.
How do you cite a case that was never there?
Chief, I'll tell you what happened. Here's how this happens, okay? Because, I'm a guy who works with this stuff. So the problem you have is that any unbounded AI system, in other words, anything that can any system that is not bounded in what it ingests to, say, for example, your customer list, okay, and your inventory file, any time that it can go outward, what happens is it assigns probability weights to the things it eats. Somebody like we were talking about a little while ago, I put up some outlandish thing on X that is absolute BS. I made it up. Okay, there's no reference to it, but the more outrageous, the more likely it is that it's going to go somewhere from a standpoint of being picked up, right? Okay, the AI eats that and becomes part of its corpus of alleged knowledge. And at some point, that ends up being spit back out citation to something that never happened.
Yes. Right, it's a stupid question. AI, boy, I can't even imagine what that...
It's not. It's artificial, but it is not intelligent.
Okay, but I guess my question is, it's simple dummy question.
AI is a 12-year-old kid who's really great at calculating, but has zero common sense.
Right, AI is bumbling along, and it sees, you know...
It believes everything it reads.
But it reads, Ma Barker was killed in 1932, and the next thing it says, Ma Barker was killed in 1922. What does AI do?
How does it know which one's right? That's the problem.
That's the point of my question.
See, this is...
It's a
12-year-old kid with a very fast calculator.
But it has no ability to research and find out which one is right.
Well, it does maybe, but the problem that you have is
you have to manage it. You have to ask it the right questions.
Well, and here's the thing, Hal. You take a look at there are people that have gone and they've used Grokopedia, which is X's idea of Wikipedia, right? A replacement, right? And have asked it about themselves. Now, you are the authoritative source of what has happened in your life. Okay? I mean, there's no question.
If you don't drink too much.
I'm just saying. You're the authoritative source, okay? And this thing has repeatedly come back with jobs you never had, degrees you don't actually hold.
I got to get a few of those.
But here's the thing. Chief, think about this. If you use this as a tool, for example, for hiring, for screening applicants, and it comes up and says this person is a felon, okay, or got fired for cause because blah, whatever it is, right? And it's not true. Uh-oh. All right. The other thing is, most of these that I've seen so far anyway, the conflations that they put in there are extremely flattering. Now, can you sue somebody for defamation if it's flat? Well, that's kind of hard, right?
Somebody might.
But it's not defamatory, all right? Think about the other problem. The guy claims to be an engineer, which is a profession. That's a degree-based certification, right? That actually means something. And you hire him, and he comes in and he does the drawings for Bridge. The certification, he never got the degree. He never got his PE stamp.
You won't see me on that bridge.
You hire him, and he does the design. You build the bridge, and there's 50 people on it. It collapses.
You know what I'm thinking? We should get Flanagan.
You know what this whole discussion sets up? It sets up an incentive to make sure your kids have like very unique names. Like I'm probably the only Hal Snarr on the internet. I've Googled myself several times.
If
you're Bill Jones, man, I feel bad for you.
Well, Chief, it's one of the funny things is that and Google, it's not as true today as it used to when Google actually was just an index of things. If you Google me, you got back something like 150,000 hits. Okay? And that was because I was, I was extremely active during my years running MCS, right? And so, all sorts of stuff. Now, the funny thing about it is that, half of that was complete crap because I got into some argument with somebody about some element of policy related to, the internet at the time. And, that guy's a Nazi. He's a whatever. And yet, there it is, right? Yeah. The thing is, it's complete garbage. And so, these so-called large language models, they eat all this stuff without any... There's no BS filter. My cat has a BS filter, for crying out loud.
John, you know what you could do since you're good at this? Why don't you get on there to AI and tickle the damn thing to where you and I are issued PhDs from the Australian School of Economics just to pick that up.
Well, first of all, there's no Austrian.
I'll have to come out of retirement to accept a lucrative job.
Nobody knows that but you, Hal. we're going to have our PhDs, and you're going to go out there and be telling everybody, hey, those guys really don't have those PhDs.
Listeners of the show are going to think there's actually an Austrian Economics University, but there isn't.
That's what I'm saying. If we get our degrees there, nobody's going to know we didn't get them.
You know what the fun part is going to be is when all these people have spent these $1 trillion between them, and doubled your electrical bill, all right, and all sorts of stuff, and there's no money to be made using this crap.
All right, I got a downer note here. what are the chances?
The dismal science and the downer notes.
What are the chances of if Carl's view of this year money wise? When are we going to get our tax increase? Because tariffs aren't going to cut it.
Well, I don't know that we're going to get a tax increase. I mean, if you look at you look at the first 3 months, right? Where this is all Trump now, whether you like it or not. First 3 months of fiscal with the tariff revenue. The operating deficit for the first 3 months was over $600 billion. That's $2.4
billion. It gets worse if he gets his way with the defense budget.
We haven't passed that yet, right?
Yeah. I mean, he wants to increase $1.5 trillion, man.
Oh, yeah, that bill hasn't been passed. But some of the funding bills haven't been passed. So here we are. We've got $2.4 trillion in operating deficits on, just multiply by four. Of course, that's not how it works because April's usually a month that goes the other way. But still, you're talking easily a $2 trillion operating deficit for this fiscal.
Well, a real estate developer would think this way. Just finance it, right? Just finance it.
That keeps working right up until the bond market is biting.
Harken back to everybody's hero, Dutch. When Reagan put through the big tax decrease, a year and a half later, they had to put it through a tax increase because it didn't...
It didn't happen.
Well, they also didn't control spending. They allowed government spending.
What I'm saying, it wouldn't be the first time.
And interest rates were what, 12-13%?
It wouldn't be the first time that you had to follow up a tax decrease with a tax increase. I'm just saying.
Well, I think the problem with the 80-ish, early 80-ish fiscal, the tax cuts, is it was a compromise. And in order to get those tax cuts through, they had a compromise with the Democrats to increase government spending. And then at the same time, Paul Volcker had...
I'm sure we got around to where the Democrats were at fault, but the fact is...
No, I'm not saying they're at fault. It's just politics creates...
Okay, how about this? Compromises. How about this? The estimates that they sent to the Office of the Management of Budget didn't work out.
Yeah. Those estimates never work out. Okay, look at Medicare.
I'm trying to be somewhat in the middle here. Biden put through this big spending plan that at the end of the day, because everybody's going to have Wi-Fi or whatever... People are going to start paying taxes that would never pay tax before. It was all bullshit. Okay, and then this guy puts through a tax cut, actually before Biden. It said we're going to have all these benefits to the taxes. It was all bullshit. So both sides got a bullshitter here. The question is, now we're broke. What do we do?
The compromise. The compromise is budget deficits.
Okay.
But you can't keep doing that.
That's my point.
It's an exponential curve.
Yeah,
and
we're now in the vertical part
of the curve.
Yeah. Especially,
we're gonna do it because we have Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other side, and the compromise is always a nasty federal deficit.
We have since the man has been in office. Okay, actually, no, it's part of it. And this, the numbers, you guys know that I try and be fair on this, not so much on shootings, but. And the other stuff, this goes on every president. You can't tell when Democrats walked out.
I know exactly. Yeah.
But
because you get the nasty compromise.
Right now we got a guy trying to piss
the
off.
The nasty compromise, Tom, is the reason why these guys get reelected.
Because we've got a guy trying.
The right is promising. Something.
Well, he's trying to piss off the UK when they filled the gap $100 billion, $112 billion in the last 12 months. I mean, if they don't show up. What's he going to do?
Well, there's going to be a serious problem, obviously. Duh. But, I mean, what's going to end up happening here, I think, is pretty clear, is that you're going to, the idea that you're somehow going to have a supposed, 2 or 3% inflation rate when you've got the federal government running an 8% fiscal deficit. And oh, by the way, that's awfully close, Hal, to your quadratic growth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it funny how the numbers all line up when you look at them in the
right place? Well, if you look at the tip spread on the 10-year and the 5-year, those are headed up.
Oh, yeah. Well, and like I said, I mean, today, all right, just looking at this, this spread chart that I always have up, now that this is now trading on an annual, this is at a annual high. And by the way, if you want to look at it from a technical perspective, that's a very nice little cup and handle, and it just broke upward.
My quadratic trend on LinkedIn, in 4 days on LinkedIn, my little post on LinkedIn, yeah, they got 30,000 interactions, wow, in like 4 days.
Well, that's not bad, yeah.
All right, yeah, well, last question, or you were, if Jan wants to pile in, why is all of a sudden, nobody even talks about the 30-year anymore for the last however many years? We didn't have a 30-year for a while, right? So now we brought it back. 30 years used to be the only thing that traded when I was young on the floor. But now we're starting to see the 30-year and the 10-year start to spread. I haven't seen that. What does that mean?
That's just people, investors, people that have money in the game, expect inflation to be a problem in the future.
Between 10 and 30 years, that's kind of a new thought, though, isn't it, recently?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that means the future, investors don't really think the future is all going to be that great. In the future, inflation is going to be substantially more than it is today.
And you'll get 50-year mortgages, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, John, are you buying 30-year or 10-year?
10.
I don't have any pocket cash. My pocket cash goes to paying groceries. I don't have any side cash.
I don't know. Guys like
you,
you know. You know, just about you professors, George Stigler, you'd have loved him, you know. He goes, you mentioned earlier about sometimes the economics people are kind of lost, and Stigler one day goes, well, you know, if you really want to know how much common sense your professors have, just go look at the cars they drive. Who else would buy those clunkers?
I know. Mine's a 2008 Chevy Cobalt.
Look at the cars they drive and look at the sport coats they wear.
But I can fix it.
Said one time, Mr. Flanagan, that red Dodge Omni out in the parking lot has to be your car, right? I was like, yeah, it is.
You know, by the way, this the end, towards the end of the week in this this storm, I'm paying fairly close attention to this because it may get us with some ice down here, and that's bad. But this, everyone's saying, oh, you know, it's never been this bad. Well, yes, it has.
Sure, it is.
There have been winter storms like that before, but the sheer area of, in terms of population density, that this one's likely to get, you could easily see a foot of snow in places that usually, you know, their average winter storm is.
Well, they don't have any at the ski resorts in Colorado. They could use some there.
You know what? There's none there. But I'll tell you what, up north, I was just up there. And,
Michigan, holy! Did you see that?
There's snows. Get it? Well, that, you know what, Hal? Oh, no. That is absolute stupidity. I've driven in that crap for a long time, and who initiated it? That's the open question at this point. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a non-domiciled CDL that has never driven in snow in his life, and all of a sudden here it is.
Or a guy thinking he has a 4x4 pickup truck.
And he can go blasting
once on the snow.
Well, and he can go blasting past somebody in the unplowed lane, which people do all
the time. Why do people off the road?
Why do people with 4x4 people think you could stop faster instead of just go faster?
Well, that's what I always tell people. I'm like, look, yes, it will help you go better. However,
my second year in grad school, I think we went. John, you remember this? I'm going to say we went. We came above zero, but it was about 10 days where I don't think we got above 5. And that was
77?
Would have been 77, yeah. No,
I've got stories about that.
When you drove cars without fuel injection, every morning was a challenge, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I grew up on that stuff, and I lived in northern Michigan at the time. Well aware of that.
We drove
40,000 years ago, there was an ice sheet over New York City that was twice as tall as the Empire State Building.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't tell anybody about that because your SUV made that go away.
Yeah. We drove, we got to go, but we drove to, you ever gone to Grand Targhee?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a gorgeous place?
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah.
But it's up, the base is what, 9,000 feet?
Yeah, it's up there. It's not like the Appalachian Mountains, right?
Well, but the snow, the vertical, Carol.
Well, the base is probably 7,000.
Where I like to ski out in Colorado, the base of the mountains is 10,500.
Well, yeah. that's what this was. It only had like 1,800 feet of vertical. You're way up there. We stayed there. We talk about trying to breathe after you've been drinking all night. But I had this old Jeep. It literally had to let it would start up okay, but it wouldn't move for like 10 minutes.
Right. Well, Sarah's
van. Well, it's probably because all the gear oil was so
There wasn't enough air. It just, it had to be warm to be able to move, but it was...
Sarah's van did not like... I mean, it's an older, that's older injection system like I have in my, you know, my Suburban. When it was negative 10 out, it started, but it did not like it.
No.
It's like me in the morning without my coffee.
There you go.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. thank you, guys. We're kind of a free
Hey, real quick, if you guys want to see something impressive, about 10 miles east of Salt Lake City, there's a place called Guardsman Pass. You're at like 9,800 feet above sea level, and you can see probably Nevada, maybe Colorado. From there. It's just impressive. And it goes straight down the road. The width of the mountain at the peak is basically the width of the road, and it goes straight down from both sides. Well, Guardsman Pass. It's incredible.
Well, the highest pass I think I've ever driven on is at Birdhound near when you go, you get off on 40. I've never taken the other one, Loveland. I guess that's a little higher, isn't it, Colonel? The one where you just take six?
Loveland is pretty nasty. I'll tell you what, though. You go through Wolf Creek Pass, and that's, you know, that's like at 10.5. And in the wintertime, there are places that when, you know, when they're getting weather, that's a mandatory change station, and they're not kidding.
Yeah. Well, that's what Guardsman Pass is. In the winter, they have these gates that automatically close that just shut down the road during the winter.
Yeah, they do it, too. And, it you know, I mean, there's okay, you must have chains. There's, if you're a commercial vehicle, you must have chains, and there's everybody that must have chains, and then there's screw you're not going.
Yeah, that's what this is. Guardsman Pass is that. You don't drive there during the winter.
We drove on from Westgate of Yellowstone down to Driggs, Idaho, which is where...
Oh, Driggs is really cool.
Yeah, I know.
There's a really cool Lynx golf course there. And the wind blew about 30 miles an hour.
Well, the drift was over half the road, so we had to drive the entire way on the left side of the road.
Yeah.
But we never ran into another car. And we see on this one fence, there's this owl that had to be 3 feet high. Or when that high. He's looking at us like, what are you idiots doing? But this was before cell phones, before anything. Of course, you had enough ski stuff, you'd be warm, right? But anyway, guys, it was fun. SP Futures down 107, NASDAQ Futures down 455. Let's hope this comes back a little bit. This is pretty bad. Everybody, John, I'm glad we got you on a little bit yesterday because you missed your usual Monday
slot.
My
pleasure. Good conversation, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you got three ganging up on me. What the hell?
Back tomorrow. We got to have a good time on you.
Oh, yeah. back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
That's all, folks.